it's lovely to be able to come back every now and again to be able to be here to worship and lead you in worship. And I want to read some stories from the Bible that just give us our theme for today. The first one is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and the first 13 verses there. It's a story of Jesus' temptation. Luke chapter 4 from the beginning. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And then Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, from verse 10 to verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Let's hear again God's word. It's on page 1177. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Amen. And this is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. Let's pray as we reflect on these words. Heavenly Father, you speak truth to our lives. You speak with relevance to our situations. May we be ready and willing to hear your word today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure our minds are well occupied with news predictions about the coronavirus and the possible effects upon us, our families, our way of life in Scotland. And politicians and scientists are suggesting all sorts of possibilities. Significant numbers contracting the virus and maybe even deaths. The workforce being affected, whether they can continue to gather, whether we can continue to gather in places for entertainment, for travel, for food. And it's coupled with advice for good hygiene practice to be followed by self-isolation if symptoms appear. And it's making us all rethink our lifestyle and our behavior. Last week I was conducting a communion service and I had been advised by the Church of Scotland offices not to use the common cup. I noticed that footballers are being told not to shake hands with opponents. I bet in some ways they're quite pleased about that. But I don't know about the usual celebrations when their own team score, whether they've just to say, or as people now do, it's the elbow thing, or it's the foot tap thing. That's apparently how we greet people. So I'm waiting for that injunction to come out from 121 George Street to say that ministers should not shake hands at the door when you leave. Maybe that's not as foolish as it may seem. Celebrities aren't to take selfies because they're too close to their fans. But it's good to know these things because we've been told to take care. It's good to be prepared. The story that I read earlier on about the temptation of Jesus usually leads us to think about the particular temptations that Jesus faced. But rather than considering these, I want to consider the preparation that Jesus went through before he faced these temptations. Because he had to face not just these, but a lifetime of temptations. Just as we do. And like the possible effects of the coronavirus, we too have been warned about the dangers of sin and evil that are all around us. And we're counseled to take precautions and to prepare well. We do it before an exam. We do it before we go on holiday. We do it before a baby arrives. We do it when a baby arrives and we decide to turn up at church. We've got to think about that about an hour or 2 hours before we do that, or even just to go out, preparing for anything, preparing for everything. And if you go on holiday in Scotland, then it's every four seasons. I mean, you've got to expect that. It might be a sunny day. Let's bring the sunspray. But we'll have that extra jumper because it's still Scotland. And the wellies because it's still Scotland. But the camera because it's Scotland and we might see it. All the different things that we have to stop and think about before we do things. We read here that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. And it's this experience of 40 days in the wilderness that has led to the 40 days of Lent as our preparation as Christians as we approach Easter. We don't wait till the problems arise. We don't wait till the crisis is there. We think about it in advance. What could happen? We are proactive. We seek ways to prevent succumbing to temptation. My wife and I were at a wedding a week ago. A lovely time with great food, a beautifully decorated venue, everything the guests could want and to get the most out of from a special occasion. But I know that there had been lots of phone calls, emails to the band, to the caterers, the florists, organizing the people to stay overnight, even a spreadsheet with every item to the minute and how long each segment of the day would take. Apparently the bridesmaids walked too quickly for the music. But you know, despite that and the sleet and the rain, it was such a wonderful day, full of great memories to take away because a little bit of preparation had gone into it. So what do we do to prepare ourselves for our day, for our week, for our life? Well, we've got our diaries with our meetings and arrangements and the necessary plans we have to make about getting there and getting back and what to wear and what to take. And does the car have petrol and is there somewhere to eat and will there be room for everyone where we're going and is there a place to park? Can we bring the car and have I got everything that I need? And if we're parents or we're carers, then we also need to take responsibility for those in our charge, making sure that they are prepared as well. But the Bible also reminds us and warns us that there are challenges and obstacles to be met, not just of a physical, financial, social, emotional nature, but also of a spiritual nature. The devil doesn't only attack and try to deceive Jesus, but as Paul says in the passage to the church in Ephesus and that I read earlier today, we are to put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. So what are we doing to prepare for our Christian life, our life as witnesses to Jesus? Well, where would that be? It can just be at home. When everything that could go wrong goes wrong. It could be at work. When World War III erupts or the boss turns up. Or something goes wrong and we are expected to take responsibility. Or maybe expected to take sides. Or what seems like an innocent invitation puts us in a potentially compromising moment. Or maybe it's just our own friends who just casually dump things on us. Or maybe just their children and say, can you help? Or maybe it's just that there are big things and there are small things and those unexpected conversations that throw up all sorts of topics and circumstances. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit leads us. In fact, we probably pray that the Spirit will lead us through our day. And that may indeed be into temptations. Because life is full of temptations. The problem is not with the temptations. The problem is how we deal with them. But it's the Spirit who is there with us. And God provides. He provides armor. Armor for us to wear and to use. Not to make life cumbersome. Like David when he was offered the armor of Saul when he was going out to fight Goliath and he thought, nah, I can't deal with this. Just give me my sling and stones. I'm comfortable with that. And God wants us to be comfortable with the armor of God. to make us effective, to make us resilient, and where at the end of the day, we're still standing. So Paul firstly says, put on the belt of truth, buckled round your waist. Our life should be about integrity, holding everything in place like a belt, not hiding secrets or being deceitful, evasive or lacking transparency. As men and women whose lives are lived for Jesus and that are there to serve and honor him, our lives need to be held together by our truthfulness. This is who I am, a soldier of Christ, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. It's about how we live our lives, how we face the situations in front of us. It's interesting that the armor that is here, there's nothing for our back, so it's not a good idea to run away. So important that we face those challenges that are there. Living our faith visibly and intentionally, with acts of kindness and generosity, of graciousness and costly goodness being shown. Rather than weighing it all up and waiting to see what somebody else does, we take that first step, that initiative, expecting nothing in return, but simply and humbly expressing our lives of service because of our devotion to God. And then with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know what it's like when certain people turn up at things and you have a reaction to that, which is either, oh no, they've turned up, or, oh, I'm so glad they've appeared. It's very different, isn't it? All it means is somebody has just arrived in the room, arrived at whatever you are at. And I wonder whether we are people that when we come, people are saying, they're going to make a good difference. They will bring peace. They will bring wisdom. They will bring shalom. They'll bring healing. They'll bring completeness. Rather than unrest and trouble and confrontation and just that awkwardness that we can often feel. And Paul says, having your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We need to be on the move. And where we go, bringing the peace of Christ, wherever we are. I wonder whether that is what happens. It's what happened when Jesus appeared. People were glad that Jesus appeared, whether it was at a wedding, or whether it was that he just turned up when there was illness, or whether he was just there in the company of everyone else. I've been involved in community groups and obviously in church groups for a long time. And there are sadly those who seem to take delight in making things difficult. Now I can say that here because this isn't my church. I couldn't say that in my own churches. Or maybe I should have. Because these are things that we have to address. Are we people that bring the peace of Christ wherever we go? We're called to be peacemakers by Jesus. The tragedy is that not just at church meetings, but sometimes in community groups, it's those who are professing to be Christians that are the ones who cause the trouble. And it gives further reason for the unbeliever to continue to disbelieve. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now these three first pieces of armor are for that positive engagement in the situations and with the people around us. So often it is that we want to hide away. We don't want to bring our heads above the parapet. And here is the armor. Here is the armor of God about how we deal with situations. But it's not just about dealing with it for our own sake, but dealing with it for the sake of others. Because it's the devil who will stand in our way. It's the devil who will seek to remove the goodness and the righteousness from society. A bit like a fire extinguisher or a Harry Potter Dementor, sucking the last ounce of energy and passion and goodwill that is within us. And so what does Paul say? Take the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. I wonder whether we raise the shield of faith when there is discouragement, when it is unfair, unjust, spiteful and cruel things that are said to us, done to us, said to others, done to others. Or whether we just think, well, what difference could I make? What's the point of me being here? No one would really appreciate if I tried to do something. I should just give up. Even when we have prayed, Lord, lead me. Lord, be with me. Lord, fill me. Lord, equip me. As we do at the start of a day. Or even as we do here on a Sunday. Praying for one another, praying for ourselves. Lord, may this week that is ahead be one where I can make a difference. Not by running away, but by facing those challenges that are there. For the sake of my life and the sake of others. The story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 is a wonderful tonic to anyone who feels ready to give up as the prophet did. Complaining to God that he was the only one trying to do anything right. I'm not going to tell you what that's about. Go and read it when you go home. 1 Kings chapter 19. It's a great, great story of God's provision. When we feel we are empty and so lacking. And Paul says, take the helmet of salvation. How often do we just rely upon our feelings, the circumstances around us, and we imagine that everything's going wrong, that God doesn't care, that he doesn't listen to our prayers, that he doesn't want us, he doesn't love us, he won't forgive us. And here's God saying through his servant Paul, put on the helmet of salvation. For our salvation is guaranteed by what Jesus has done for us at the cross of Calvary. And as is said in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, nothing in all creation can ever separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. We know these things not necessarily because we feel them. to be true, but because we know them to be true, because the one who spoke them is the God of truth. It's like that walk in the mist or the fog, or when we're driving and we get lost and when the map says this way and we think we should go another way and we have to trust the map. My wife gets so annoyed when I try to contradict the sat-nav woman in the car who keeps saying, turn left. And I think, I think I should turn right. That would be a better way to go. And very calmly, my wife says to me, what's the point of having the sat-nav on if you just ignore it? Calmly, she says. And what's the point of reading the Bible if we don't believe it to be true? What's the point of praying to God if we don't believe He loves us, that He can do immeasurably more than anything we could imagine? That's what the Bible says. And that's probably why the sixth item of weaponry we have is there. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The weapon which Jesus used so effectively in the desert when he's tempted by the devil. He's got a knowledge of Scripture that allowed him to recall and to speak its truth when temptation emerged to derail his mission. But it was a working knowledge. It wasn't just, I'm sure there's something in this book somewhere, let me find it. I'll just Google it and find it there. He knew these words to be true because it was applied by him day by day. There are so many opportunities to read books or apps or study guides or just daily words from God's Word that we could look at. Indeed, I notice on your intimation sheet, there is another one there saying, go on to that website, go on to that app, and you will find a word. Not just a word for today, but a word to become a daily reader of God's Word. It's a fundamental principle of our Christian growth and discipleship to be regularly reading the Scriptures. I loved it when we were in New Zealand last year, and this chap who was staying with my son and his wife, one afternoon, a young new Christian turned up at the door. He was expected. And he said his usual, hi, it's nice to see you, who are you, and what are you doing in New Zealand, and all those kind of things. And then he went out with this other person who was staying out into the garden to read the Bible. They just read the Bible together. That new Christian was shown what being a follower of Jesus was about in one way. And that other older Christian modeled the way in which being a Christian meant that he needed to be learning from God's Word. But Paul doesn't just leave it there. I mean, I think it's interesting. We put the armor on, and sometimes we're not really sure of it. But the more that we wear it, the more it becomes who we are. Paul goes further and he says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. Pray also for me, he says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. That's what Paul was looking out on his prison cell. He was there because he was a Christian. And rather than saying, could somebody come and say, I'm sorry and I won't do it again. No, it was, how can I continue to be bold and fearless in speaking that word that maybe is rightfully meant that I'm in prison. So prayer is the core of the Christian life. In exercising, indeed just trying to stay fit and well, is important of core strength. I was looking at one website and it described it like this. It says, your core stabilizes your body, allowing you to move in any direction as well as having proper balance. It helps prevent falls and supports your body. So having a strong core is beneficial to everyone because it allows your body to function properly. That could have been said of the spiritual life, our Christian life, our prayer life, to stabilize us, to give us proper balance, to prevent us falling, to support us, to allow us to function properly. And Paul teaches that we pray on all occasions, wherever we are, whatever the circumstances, with all kinds of prayers and requests. You know, sometimes we've got the opportunity to take out the list, this is what I want to pray about, God. And other times, it's just that moment, Lord, help me. And pray for all God's people. That's why we've come here this morning. We haven't just come here and it just so happens that a few other people turned up as well. This is the body of Christ. This is the family of God. And we would pray for our family. And so God wants us to pray for his family too. And Paul says, here's your starter for 10. If you want to know how to pray for me, pray that I may declare the gospel fearlessly. I love the fact that it's specific. You know, it's not just God bless. God bless that person and what they're doing. But perhaps it is that we know because we've found out. We've got to know the people who are around us and we think about their life and their working life and what they do. I was asked just last week if I would go to work with one of the people in the church where I am in St. Monans. He happens to be a farmer. He's in the tractor digging up the carrots. It was very cozy and we didn't get our hands dirty at all. It was all done by machinery. But it was great just to spend time talking and listening to his life and his life as a Christian man at work. And so that's informed the kind of way in which I can pray for him too. And maybe it is that we need to just sit down with someone and say, so what's happening in your week ahead? Or what has your week been like? So that when we pray for maybe not all God's people, but maybe just one or two of them this week, we can pray specifically. So that the next week we can say, so how did that go? How did that go? I'll keep praying about that. And I'll also give thanks that God answered some of that prayer too. When we look at the Christian life, and when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that at the core of his life was prayer. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who lived out God's word and commanded such respect and such confusion from people. How could somebody live like that, react like that? And he was able to say it was because of his Heavenly Father. He called upon the core strength of his life, his closeness to his Father through prayer, his understanding of his Father's will through the Scriptures, and living a life of grace and compassion that stood out for all to see, speaking with wisdom and insight and truth that couldn't be challenged. And you, maybe it is that when we stand with our armor on, there may be others who are round about us at work, at home, in our communities, wherever we are, who needed that encouragement to see a Christian man or woman standing strong. And that they may in turn be encouraged to start to put on the armor of God too. But let us not be naive about this, because Jesus, who prepared, went to the cross, suffered physically, emotionally, spiritual torment, and eventually death. He didn't do this so that he would be excused, immune from suffering and pain. In fact, in the letter to the Hebrews, it says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scoffing at shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our example, our Savior, our King. For the joy that was set before him, he did this. What kind of joy would it be in dying on a cross, other than because of his death, you and me and millions others would have the opportunity to know their sins forgiven? And for that joy, the joy of seeing us forgiven and renewed, he went to the cross. Are we ready for this week? Even for the rest of this day? Are we going to use our time wisely, preparing ourselves to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? But let us know that we do not stand alone, but we stand in the power of God, and with his armor, as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we reflect upon your word, as we look into the face of Jesus, as we see how he dealt with the temptations of his life, we know that we have been not left abandoned, but rather empowered by your Spirit and equipped with the armor that you so willingly give us. We can stand strong in your mighty power. So may we, in faith and in prayer, prepare ourselves for this day and this week, and know your presence with us. Not just now, but eternally, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.